This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're whizzing all around the Queen's League. From 1991, we're taking full advantage of Mode 7 and Nintendo's F-Zero. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the original Captain Falcon, it's Huell Hauser.
It is now the year 2560, and due to the human race's countless encounters with alien life forms throughout the universe, Earth's social framework has expanded to cosmic proportions.
Yes, this game oddly has a bit of lore and backstory to it. It's a racing game. Come on.
Way too much backstory.
And our other co-host, his hovercraft trades acceleration for top speed. It's Todd Brisket.
I shall win to honor beautiful women everywhere.
Oh. Oh. Nice. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. This week's game is F-Zero. Released in 1991 along with Pilot Wings, these two games were meant to show off the power and graphics of the new Super Nintendo system. F-Zero is a futuristic racer, and at the time, it set the standard for playability. We picked this game because we desperately needed a decent game after Bebe's Kids and BB's Kids and Bible Adventures. So, Todd, how'd you like this one? Did it cleanse your palate?
Oh, yes. It sure did. It sure enough did. Cleanse those BB Kids and Bible Kids right out of there.
So many kids. So many bees.
Yep. A lot
so
of
many
kids
bees
games.
Lately. Yep. Get some F. We need to get some F in here.
Get some F. Too much F, and there'd be more Bs.
Spoiler alert, another B game next week, but don't want to jump ahead too much.
Yeah, so now we're hitting 4 out of 5 on the US Super Nintendo launch titles. We covered F-Zero today, Pilot Wings, Sim City. Mm-hmm. And Gradius 3, I see in our list we covered Gradius, but also Gradius 3 as part of the same episode.
Mm-hmm.
So
I consider
that covered.
Yeah, we're not gonna circle back to that one.
The last one is Super Mario World, which is coming in a few years, by my account.
I think another year and a few weeks.
That indie joint.
Hold your horses, folks.
Yeah,
I don't know. For a long ride.
Yeah. I don't know about that shovelware. We'll see.
Yeah, so every launch title of the Super Nintendo was pretty much amazing, it seems. They all had their own niche. They had the SimCity, right. Had the simulation strategy, Pilot Wings with its flight simulating, Gradius with its alien life form simulating, and F-Zero with its hyper-realistic hover cars. Racing
game.
Yeah, this is a perfect launch title to show off the Mode 7 features of the Super Nintendo.
This and Pilot Wings, good tech demos.
Yeah, this is exactly what this game feels like too. It's a more fleshed out tech demo. It's like they're making a racing game. Hey, we got this Mode 7. Let's figure it out. Let's make a racing game. But then they're like, oh, these cars are slipping and sliding all over the place. This is not really a fun racing game, so let's make them let's pretend they're hovering 300 feet above the track, and they're sliding around because they're hovering, and then that's how they came up with F-Zero. Old Shiggy Miyamotes, as I call them.
Old Shig's Mamotes.
Shiggy Mamotes.
Shig's Mamotes. Saying, hey, let's just make them not have wheels. That'll solve all our problems.
Hey, guys! They spend a little bit more time to perfect the wheel feature for Super Mario Karts.
Yeah, which is a year or two later.
As far as I know, yet another game that we've covered. Super Mario Karts came out pretty much exactly a year after this one.
Look at that. I guess they figured bananas weren't going to matter to anti-gravity cars, so they had to think of something.
Well, I will say Super Mario Kart, it fixes definitely the biggest error with F-Zero, which is F-Zero single player. That's it.
That is true. That is the biggest downfall of this game, and why it did not get much game time on my screen as a youth is because I have a couple siblings or two, or three, and
a couple or two or three,
and in any game we play, it's usually got to be a multiplayer game. So this one did not come up that often. We did tons of Mario Karting because you can battle in that one and have a tournament. But F-Zero is, as a single-player game, did not hit the deck that much.
I guess it makes sense as a launch title. You gotta ease into it. Those programmers don't know what's going on with all the multiplayer and stuff.
Well, it does feel like, not that this game was, that F-Zero was rushed out, but it does feel like, you know, that they just got it done, and then they couldn't think of, you know, to add in that second player or something.
Yeah. Not incomplete, but just not fleshed out, I guess. Yeah.
Well, they didn't get the extra time. GoldenEye allegedly had the same thing going on.
Yeah.
Where they were ready
famously.
Well, here's how you can tell that Nintendo's didn't get that much time to put some polish on, is the story is all outside of the game. Inside the game, there's no story at all. There's no cutscenes. Is there any introduction text at all? It's just like, all right, choose your car, choose your track, and go. Mm-hmm. So if they had time, if they're going to put more polish on it, they would have added in some cutscenes, some people talking, some rabbits and stuff.
I think Steve had a point he was trying to make before. I got me anxious. You were talking about GoldenEye and how the multiplayer was slapped on at the end.
Oh, well, yeah, originally it didn't have multiplayer.
Right.
And they realized, oh, this would be much better with multiplayer, but it would mean a delay, I think, of 6 months, 12 months, something like that. And Nintendo gave Rare the go-ahead to do that, but, you know, clearly it's hard to imagine that they play-tested this one and didn't think, hey, you know, this would be much better with two players, but just didn't make it into the game. But then again, I feel like I don't know if any games before this were split screen. So
it's like, hard to tell. No, I don't think so.
Like console games. Mm-hmm. I think like the racing games before this for the NES were clearly not as good. Like there's no NES racer I'd rather play than F-Zero. Like Micro Machines or RC Pro Am or Super Off Road, like now.
Yeah, it's all like one tiny track that everyone kind of runs around.
Yeah, yeah. Excite Bike, a goddamn motorcycle.
Ivan Iron Man's Super Off Road, which is a fantastic game, and that one's multiplayer, but you can see the entire track on the screen.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Wasn't that a favorite of? It was a favorite of a former guest, I think, because
it's a favorite of mine. It definitely came up during the RC Pro Am episode with Pips, old Pippy Boy, friend of the show.
Yeah.
God. And that came up. I brought that one up because that one is one of my favorites. Even though I can see it doesn't age that well and it's pretty bad, I would say. But there's some nostalgia there. Plus, man, they got some pixelated babes showing up there.
Now I remember.
No pixelated babes in this one, so that is one factor that definitely, you know, Ivan Koloff's off-road racing, whatever the hell it's called, is definitely better in that regard. Yeah, Nikolai Volkov's dirt track racing better than F-Zero when it comes to boobs. So I will say I played this one again for, I don't know, about half hour this week. I played it more as a ute. This was a rental once or twice. Man, playing it now, it's a little ponderous because each race is five laps.
Yeah, that felt a little long.
Yeah, like I actually finished the third lap and I was like, all right. And then I realized, oh,
and then
wait.
You put three down the controller and said, yes, I won.
walked away,
and then
snack.
all the cars started passing you.
Immediately left the screen.
Yep. I was like, oh, wait, this is not like every other racing game ever released.
This ain't no Mario Kart, man.
No. So I don't know. How did you guys, Huel, how did you like this one?
This was literally my first time playing F-Zero.
Oh.
And my only previous exposure was the Smash Brothers levels and Captain Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
In Smash Brothers.
I was going to bring that up later. Captain Falcon, mainstay.
Yes.
Mainstay of my repertoire in Smash Brothers.
A first roster appearance and has appeared ever since for Smash Bros. But, yeah, this just felt like a less fleshed out Mario Kart, which makes sense since it came out before it and it was a launch title. Yeah, it was fun. It was good enough. As a racer, I'm really not a big racing game fan. They all just kind of seem the same to me. Mm-hmm. And this was more of the same. But yeah, T brought up earlier this reverse engineered plot is something else. Because I went straight to the manual, and right off the bat, they're talking about this. In the future, we've perfected intergalactic trade with other races, and everyone's become so rich that they crave entertainment, much like the debauchery of the Romans needing gladiators to fight for their amusement.
The hardcore interspecies porn is not enough for them anymore.
No. They've seen it all. They've seen every combination. So they're like, hey, remember the F1 races from centuries ago? Let's do that, but with hover cars.
Yes.
That's literally the plot of this game. Mm-hmm. So they built racetracks all around the galaxy and made them anti-gravity. And the champion is known as it's the highest honor that could be bestowed on anyone in the universe, being a F-Zero Grand Prix champion. And that's where the F-Zero comes from. It is not Formula One. It is Formula Zero. Because it's the future. Which is, it should be like Formula 2000, because that's what everything is in the future. But they thought ahead. This is Formula Zero. So this simple racing game has some ridiculous future battle plot, and it's pretty great.
Yeah.
That's my biggest takeaway.
Well, even the fact that it's odd that Captain Falcon is like in Smash Brothers and is now a pillar of Nintendo media in a way.
Right.
Like he, I don't know, isn't he a popular Smash Brothers character too?
Well,
Falcon Punch.
Mostly because he says Falcon Punch and Falcon Kick a lot.
That's 99% of it is because whenever you do a Falcon Punch and then whoever you're fighting flies off the screen, you shout it in real life whenever that happens.
Constantly. Yeah, and he's just like the basic racer that's like average at everything in this game.
Yeah, there's nothing really that distinguishes him from the other racers either. Like,
well, he's blue.
Clearly.
His car is blue.
Yeah.
It's not yellow or green or purple. What more do you want?
Yeah, you bring up a good point.
So picky.
Yeah. Captain Falco, Dr. Stewart, Pico, and Samurai Gora.
Mm. Yeah, there are four racers in this racing game. Which is another thing I found odd. When you guys are zooming around the track, fighting the other three racers, what are those other random cars that are just zooming around?
There's just other random yellow cars.
Do we know
cars.
What that is?
Maybe that's like just civilian traffic. Trying to commute to work.
But yeah. So these are like Formula One races, so they presumably take place in normal cities. But maybe they just didn't close off the streets like a race should, and people are just trying to commute back and forth.
Well, actually, according to the story, the racetracks are suspended 300 feet above the ground.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
But then who are all these other randos that are just
That's the nagging
around.
Question.
It's the junior league.
You don't need six pace cars.
And they actively get in the way of you, too.
It's the under 20 league.
They lower your energy. And another thing, if you're hovering above the ground, why is there like mud on the tracks that slows you down? Like a normal racer.
Hey, have you ever seen the documentary Back to the Future Part 2?
It's not water.
Hoverboards don't work.
It's not water.
It's muddy. It's muddy tracks. It's just a little bit. It's got some moisture in there. It's got some moisture.
It's like going off-road on a normal racer, except it makes no sense at all for this one. I guess if it's mud. If that's your only explanation, the documentary Back to the Future Part 2.
I don't know. I mean, you can't jump over the other cars either, can you?
No.
Because they're just hovercrafts, I guess. They're not jumping craft.
It says they float a foot above the ground.
Mm-hmm.
According to Le Manuel.
What is the advantage of floating a foot over the ground?
You know, ask the Hyperloop speed trains and the roller coasters that float off the rails.
No friction.
No friction.
Oh.
That's why you slide around.
I know you were buddies with Elon Musk. Never mind. And come here to get lectured about Hyperloops.
Well,
God.
Yeah, you came to the right place. Podcast about classic video games.
Anyways, since we mentioned Captain Falcon a little bit here, just to touch on where the series is now, because Nintendo is Nintendo, there hasn't been a new F-Zero game in the States since 2003, and in Japan since 2004. Before that, there were good periodic releases for the Game Boy Advance and the GameCube. Miyamoto, the producer of the series, what was his name again? Sorry.
Shigi Mamotes.
Shigi Mamotes, okay. Yeah.
Shigi Mamotes and others have said that they've held off on a new F-Zero because they don't really have any new ideas for the genre, which seems odd since they've made like 8 Mario Karts.
Yeah, it is strange the way they pick and choose their franchises.
Yeah. In 2011, they approached the developer of the Wipeout series about doing a new F-Zero, but they couldn't come to an agreement. As of 2015, Shiggy Motes said that they could do another game, but nothing is planned right now. So
that's kind of their standard stance. Oh, yeah. We could, but, you know, we just don't feel like it.
We could make another Metroid, but, you know, who has the time?
God, they really should.
Instead, we have to handcraft 5 Switches and release them to one store, to one Target in the middle.
Each one is signed by the artisan that constructs it.
We're going to release them to 5 Wegmans in the New York area.
What?
That's it. Why Wegmans? Why not?
When the sun crests over the northern peak, you will find that the Switch dealer on the corner.
Yeah. Hey, remember Nintendo NES Classics? Yeah, you still can't buy those either.
Still?
Nope, still out of stock most places.
Oh, boy.
So, anyways. So at this rate, we'll get a new F-Zero game in 2030. You can place your pre-orders in 2025, and it won't matter anyway. So, good times. Mm-hmm.
Dumb.
Oh boy.
So, well, this game is the predecessor to one of my favorite all-time racing games for the PlayStation 1 called Jet Moto. Have you guys ever played that, Jim?
Nope.
No, I haven't. Is that any good?
It is fantastic. Well, you know, I haven't played it in about a decade or two since it originally came out. But in that one, you were riding on, they're kind of like jet skis, but they float in the air. They're hover jet skis, and it's just great. It's got a great soundtrack, good track, level designs. It's a lot of fun. Look up a video if you're curious. Jet Moto.
Jet Moto.
So you're saying...
Nostalgia highly recommends it.
So you're saying it's like Wave Race?
It's like only Wave Race without the water, but with more jumps.
Like F-Zero Wave Race combined.
Right. Yeah. And Nintendo does like their racing games, huh?
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. I mean, just look at Kart.
Yeah, yeah. Get Kart. A lot of good racers for Nintendo.
The rare list of one item.
You know.
You got Kart. So many good
racers. All those racing games.
F-Zero. Yeah. You got Diddy Kong Racing. Although that's rare. Yeah. So.
You know.
Yeah. I was also just trying to look it up. And, of course, the results are just racing games that have been on Nintendo systems. And it's like, well, that's not.
Yeah. Well, that's good enough. I mean, just the fact that they allow it to be on their system at all is a sign of respect.
It's got the Nintendo seal of quality, just like they did, so you know it's good.
That circle, that golden circle.
Yep. Oh, boy. Oh, and of course, Rock and Roll Racing, that popped up in my search here. The racing game by Blizzard.
Yeah.
So.
It's come up on our show previously.
Yeah. I didn't have anything else really to say about F-Zero here. Huel, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I would like to say it's a very good manual, so check that out. And there is there's a comic at the end about the adventures of Captain Falcon. And you'd like to think by the time 2560 rolls around and we find other races in the universe that we'd all come together and realize that racism just, it should be dead by then. I mean, it's 500 years. We should all really just learn to live as one. But there is a shocking bit of racism at the end of this comic book where Mr. Pico, I believe, the alien man who races against you, exclaims, "I hate losing to any driver whose blood is red."
Oh, boy.
And it's just, it's shocking to see in a children's comic and really just anywhere. Just that blatant prejudice. And I mean, you can't choose the color of your blood. I mean, you're just born that way. You really have to look within, past the blood, to the person inside. And I really think that's a message that we should all take to heart.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Good times.
It's a teaching moment.
Yeah. Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to share about this game?
No, I mean that comic, it is spectacular. It takes up like half the pages in the book.
Yeah, it's pretty much half the manual. Yeah.
And like I said before, is that whenever this game was made, they just like, we don't have any story inside this game. We got to slap it all inside the manual.
Yeah.
With like 2 days left of publishing.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
We don't have time to edit out the blatant racism in this comic. Let's just slap it in there.
Human racism.
Well, it's a little known fact. Nintendo had one programmer finishing this game and 47 people working on the comic and the manual. So that's why they couldn't put 2-player in.
Yeah. Well, there's only 4 racers, yeah.
Yeah.
they didn't have enough time to put more characters into the comic.
Exactly. All right. Well, Todd, I understand that you have unearthed something about this game.
Yeah. You know, back in the 90s, when this game came out, it was quite popular, quite a popular game. So they wanted to take these characters that they created for the game and actually give them more of a story, kind of give them a more personal side. So they started working on a movie script for F-Zero the movie. Obviously, that did not come out. They went and made Super Mario Brothers the movie instead. But I have a spec script here, and I thought we should do a treat for the listeners and read a scene from that.
Oh.
So in this one, Huel is going to be Captain Falcon. I will be Pico, and Steve is going to be the narrator as always.
No, okay.
So here we go. Ready? Ready, boys?
Yeah.
Ready, go. me. All right. Falk, we've lost Belle Reve.
The place in the country?
Yes.
How?
Oh, it had to be a sacrifice or something.
There's a pause while Captain Falcon considers. Pico is changing into his dress.
When she comes in, be sure to say something nice about her appearance. And, oh, don't mention the baby. I haven't said anything yet. I'm waiting until she gets in a quieter condition.
So?
And try to understand her and be nice to her, Falk. She wasn't expecting to find us in such a small place. You see, I tried to gloss things over a little in my letters.
So?
And admire her dress and tell her she's looking wonderful. That's important with Samurai Goro, her little weakness.
Yeah, I get the idea. Now let's skip back a little to where you said the country place was disposed of.
Oh, yes.
How about that? Let's have a few more details on the subject.
It's best not to talk much about it until she's calmed down.
So is that going to be the deal, huh? Sister Samurai Gamora cannot be annoyed with business details right now?
You saw how she was last night.
Uh-huh, I saw how she was. Now let's have a gander at this bill of sale.
I haven't seen any.
Shouldn't show you no papers? No deed of sale or nothing like that, huh?
Well, it seems like it wasn't sold.
Well, what in the hell was it then? Given away? To charity?
She's going to hear you.
I don't care if she hears me. Let's see the papers.
There weren't any papers. She didn't show any papers. I don't care about papers.
Now listen, did you ever hear of the Napoleonic Code?
No, Falcon, I haven't heard of the Napoleonic Code, and if I have, I don't see what it...
Let me enlighten you on the point or two, baby.
Yes?
Now what we have here in the state of Louisiana is we have the Napoleonic Code. You see, according to which what belongs to the wife belongs to the husband and vice versa. For instance, if I had a piece of property, or you had a piece of property...
Oh, my head is swimming!
All right, then. I'll wait till she gets through soaking in a hot tub, and then I'll inquire if she is acquainted with the Napoleonic Code. It looks to me like you have been swindled, baby. And when you're swindled under the Napoleonic Code, I'm swindled too, and I don't like to be swindled.
There's plenty of time to ask her questions later, but if you do now, she'll go to pieces again. I don't understand what happened to Belle Reve, but you don't know how ridiculous you are being when you suggest that my sister or I or anyone of our family could have perpetrated a swindle on anyone else.
Then where's the money if the place was sold?
Not sold, lost. Lost!
Captain Falcon stalks into the bedroom, and Pico follows him.
Falcon!
Captain Falcon pulls open the wardrobe trunk standing in the middle of the room and jerks out an armful of dresses.
Open your eyes to this stuff. You think she got them out of teacher's pay?
Hush!
Look at those feathers and furs that she come in here and preen herself in. What's this here? A solid gold dress, I believe. And this one? What is this here? Fox pieces. Genuine fox fur pieces, a half a mile long. Where are your fox fur pieces, Pico? Bushy snow white ones, no less. Where are your fox white pieces?
Those are inexpensive summer furs that Goro has had a long time.
I got an acquaintance who deals in this sort of merchandise, and he's coming here to appraise it. I'm going to bet you there's thousands of dollars invested in this stuff here.
Don't be such an idiot, Falcon.
Falcon hurls the furs to the daybed, and he jerks open a small drawer in the trunk and pulls up a fistful of costume jewelry.
And what have we here? The treasure chest of a pirate.
Oh, Falcon.
Pearls, ropes of them. What is this sister of yours, a deep-sea diver who brings up sunken treasures? Or is she the champion safe-cracker of all time? Bracelets of solid gold, too. Where are the pearls? Where are your pearls and gold bracelets?
Oh, shh. Be still, Falcon.
And diamonds. A crown for an empress.
That's a rhinestone tiara she wore to a costume ball.
What is rhinestone?
Oh, it's just next door to glass.
Are you kidding? I have an acquaintance that works in a jewelry store. I'll have him in here and make an appraisal of this. Here's your plantation, or what was left of it here.
You have no idea how stupid and horrid you're being. Now close that trunk before she comes out of the bathroom.
Captain Falcon kicks the trunk partly closed and sits on the kitchen table.
The Goros and the Falcons have different notions on this.
Indeed they have. Thank heavens. I'm going outside. You come out with me while Goro is getting dressed.
Pico snatches up her white hat and gloves and crosses to the outside door.
Since when do you give me orders?
Are you going to stay here and insult her?
You're damn tootin' I'm going to stay here.
Pico goes out on the porch. Samurai Goro comes out of the bathroom in a towel while Captain Falcon watches. And scene.
Powerful.
Whew.
That's where all the riches went to.
Yeah.
To build these F-Zero tracks.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is the longest video game theater we've ever done.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I couldn't notice.
You need to build the tension in this thing.
Man, yeah. it just kept ramping up and ramping up.
Yeah.
Samurai Goro got some secrets.
Yeah. I was surprised they weren't talking about genuine Star Fox fur pieces, but
well, it was only a first draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If they had brought this to San Diego or, you know, some of the bigger rooms like Monterey. Yeah.
Bismarck.
Yeah. Pierre. Like they would have worked that one out. That was a good video game theater. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm sure that script is on the blacklist, just waiting to be picked up.
It's in the dark web. So, oof. Well, I think we're done with F-Zero, right, guys? Anything else to say about this one?
Yep. No, nothing else.
That's good with me.
It's a good racing game. Play it.
Good thing. good scene to cap out on.
I agree. Let's move along to the emails. Todd, did you receive any emails this week?
You know what? I did indeed.
Oh.
From a frequent writer. They write, "Hey, ya fellas. Say, asking for a friend here. If you could add any video game character into Blizzard's critically acclaimed MOBA, Heroes of the Storm, who would you add? Please answer before my Tuesday pitch meeting. Your pal, Jimmy Blizzards."
Oh, wow. He's lucky this is coming out on a Monday.
Yeah, so you guys are familiar with that Heroes of the Storm, the critically and fan-acclaimed MOBA game?
I've heard of its existence, but I've not seen nor played a second of it.
Yeah. I've not played any MOBAs.
It's basically just Smash
Not
Brothers,
even
right?
Dota. Have you right. Doted?
No.
It's Dota?
No.
Dota.
Do you Dota? It's just Smash Brothers on a computer, right?
No. It's like a strategy game like Warcraft, except that you play as only a hero character and you fight the moblings and other hero characters.
Oh, so they made Warcraft more boring. Got it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a fan of these MOBAs, but you know, if they were to put the right character in, I might play that character for 5 minutes before uninstalling the game.
Oh. Here's a thought. Captain Falcon.
Oh, there you go.
Just go around Falcon punching them moblings and call it a day.
I'm going to zig a little bit.
Ooh.
And I think they should put in both Dr. Picard and Jean-Luc Picard.
Dr. Picard?
Who's Dr. Picard?
The guy from this game, F-Zero.
Oh, is his name Dr. Is he Picard? Another...
What is it? Is it?
It's like Dr. Stewart.
Oh, Pico? Dr. Stewart. I'm mixing it up. Yeah.
You're thinking of Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Who plays Jean-Luc Picard.
Yes, yes. They should put in Dr. Stewart and Jean-Luc Picard. And then
I got you.
Just let them duke it out. So
that makes more sense.
Yeah. Makes more sense, but it means it's not a joke anymore. So. It's kind of like most of the things I say on this show.
Why would you have jokes? These are legitimate questions that we answer completely straightforward. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sorry to make light, to make folly of what Jimmy Blizzards wrote in about.
How dare you?
I'm ruining the integrity.
Well,
of
I'll bring it.
Show.
I'll bring it back on track here and say I would put in Kasumi from Dead or Alive.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That's a first.
You need to specify one of the later games in that series, there, Todd.
Oh, Dead or Alive 5.
Okay, there we go. Perfect.
What? Any reasons?
More polygons. Physics, gravity.
No, I mean, why you picked her at all?
She's a deep, thought-out character with a nice backstory, and I respect
and
her personality and sense of humor.
Incredible backstory, yes.
Got it. Okay. Interesting.
Well, Huel, did you receive any emails this week?
I did, but... You might, I don't know why I keep getting these kind of emails, but you might want to get the bleep button ready for this one.
Oh, okay.
There's no introduction. It just goes right into it. So we ain't nothing but a nation of goddamn chick bleep out of you. Hit the bleep out of you. Little tail, pissy ass, whiny, fat, flabby, out of shape, Facebook looking, damn twerk fest, peeking out the windows and slipping around, listening on the cell phones. And spying in the peephole and peeping in the crack of the goddamn door. Mr. Putin, please show some bleep out of you. Mercy, and drop the bleep out of you. Bomb, won't you? So anyway, what's the best use of time travel in a video game? I gotta have me some tea. Horological expert, John B. McElmore.
Wow.
So unexpected, but...
I mean, not totally unexpected, because from the sounds of it, he writes to everyone.
Yeah, he seems to have a way with emails, I would say.
Yes. Yes, emails and just telephone calls. Oh, God, I hope we don't get a voicemail from him.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. It's almost a threat.
I know. what was his ask again? I forgot.
Oh, the best use of time travel in a video game. He might have an interest in time. Some kind.
Oh, I have an obvious answer here.
I have an obvious one, too. Should we say it at the same time?
Countdown. Countdown.
Three.
Two, one. Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
There we go.
That actually happened.
Oh, that's sad. We're grown men.
That tickled me.
tickled you right on your the red hair in your stomach there, Huel?
Right, right on my little nipple rings.
Oh boy!
Oh no!
No, I think Chrono Trigger is definitely the best game to involve time travel. I don't know. Okay. Is that Todd? Is that your favorite one?
Off the top of my head, yes, and I know what Huel's answer is going to be.
I think
a little game called.
What you think?
Okay.
My answer will be.
Think. What do you think? I think your answer is going to be.
I think your answer. Let's count down.
Okay. Three, two,
one.
One.
Majora's Mask.
Yeah.
Okay. We were a little off on the timing.
The internet connection. Hey, let's reveal the curtains here. We're talking over the internet, so there's a tiny delay.
Oh, why'd you have to tell people? Yeah. I fly to Texas every week, and so does Steech. To
most
record
weeks.
This podcast.
Most weeks.
Most, I mean. But, yeah, I wrote that down as one that I thought people would think I would say. But I'm going to think outside the box a little bit. I want to say Braid. Braid is one of my favorite.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because you use
that's
it
a nice original use of time travel. Yeah.
You rewind the time, do a little puzzle solving. Mm-hmm. It's a nice, tough little puzzler, side-scrolling puzzler. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think the Prince of Persia series uses time travel, but I've never played it.
I think it does it in a similar way, where you can rewind the past few seconds.
Okay.
Like if you fall down a hole, if you're Jake Gyllenhaal leaping over ledges and stuff, and you slip, precisely, you can rewind time a little bit.
And then you see the weird bunny man who talks to you about the future.
That's right. Yeah.
I would like to give a shout out to a little RPG series that I don't know, Todd, even you may not have played this one. Radiata Stories for the PlayStation 2 and Radiant Historia for the DS.
Definitely heard the names but not played.
They both heavily feature time travel, and they are both good story-driven RPGs that probably cost like $1 million now. So, but they're good.
Yeah, see, I was looking up a list here, and we've actually covered a few games that feature time travel. First of all, we got Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. Oh, God. Unfortunately, yeah.
We've also covered the other one was, I just skimmed by it, and here it is. Command and Conquer, Red Alert. The entire premise is based on time.
Okay,
travel. Sure.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
As a story.
Mm-hmm. And that is all that I see. So I guess we need to get more into time travel.
Yeah, apparently. Oh. I know one writer that would be excited. Yeah.
Oh, the two games I just mentioned, Radiant Historia and Radiata Stories, both $15 to $20. So never mind. You can go buy those.
Oh.
They're good. For the DS and PS2. So, anyways.
I'd like to give a shout out to a future game we're going to cover at some point in time, Echo the Dolphin.
A time travel game?
Yes. It's all about time travel.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You go. You start out in present day, and then you go like millions of years in the past and fight primordial beasts, and you find some orb, and you take it out, and then you travel 10 million years in the future, and then you find out that you weren't supposed to do that. It's a lot of crazy time travel stuff.
Weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah. It's like, oops. I just destroyed all life on Earth. There we go.
Well.
Never mind. All right. Well, I received one mail this week. Hey, guys, I need you to settle a disagreement between me and my girlfriend. In Candy Crush, is it cheating to use the lollipop hammers and hands to win? Do you guys use your items immediately, or do you hoard them up? Thanks, and big fan of the show, Steve Greenwell.
Oh. I don't think I know that guy. I think that he's a friend of the show.
He might have written in before.
Yes. Done rotund is how you're supposed to say it.
here's my stance, and it's a very controversial... Well, I don't know how controversial,
let's hear it. Let's hear your stance.
I can see where this could ruffle some feathers, it's a question in the first place. I feel the items that you get naturally, like by beating certain levels or by completing challenges, you're free to use them whenever you want. So if you get them for beating like 10 levels and getting the stars or whatever, collecting the candies with the C's on them or whatever, they're free to use whenever.
Now, is that controversial? Because that is my exact same stance as well.
Yes.
I'm not saying my stance is controversial, but I could see where this question would cause.
Okay. Have the exact same one. It's like you can use them because they just give it to you. I mean, where I draw the line is you don't give a single damn penny to those.
Not
those
one
thieves.
Red cent.
Yeah.
To those thieves. Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Is just don't buy any of them because then you're a loser. A loser, sucker, nerd.
I also agree with that.
Oh, go ahead, Steve. I'll continue my answer later.
Yes, answer Steve Greenwell's question, Steve.
I do not spend any money on this game, but I don't mind using the hammers and the.
Hell yeah.
The other stuff.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
We should get that guy on the show at some point.
Just have him on the whole time in the background. Yep.
I bet we could probably do that one week.
Maybe he'll write in next week.
Yeah.
All right, so as for part two of this, Stephen Greenwell's question about hoarding. What I do, here's my technique. You guys probably do the same.
Probably exactly
there's the same. Some levels I play it out. I play through my five lives. If I can't beat a level, I'll come back to it next day, play through another five lives. If I can't beat it on that third day, that's when I'll start breaking out the special candies.
Yep.
Oh yeah, you got to give it a few tries. Oh. I don't have a hard count. I don't keep a hard count. But somewhere in my head, I know I'm not getting past this.
It's time.
This is it. But I'm usually down to like the last one or two moves, like of a level, and I'm like, I know I could beat this if I just clear out like this row or whatever, and then I can start using the items and be like, I can use the hand to switch things around or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like, but I use them rarely. I like to hoard them, but when they're there, and I know I can make use of them, then they're getting used.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, what I do is I use them pretty much immediately, like the second I get them.
What?
That's a waste, brother. You don't know what you're doing, man.
No wonder you're still stuck on the original Candy Crush.
I know. I don't know when I'm going
to
be doing
it. You haven't even gotten to soda yet, have you?
No wonder.
No, I'm not going to play soda until I beat the original. So, you know,
it's all making sense. Wasting your candy items.
Well, I don't waste them normally. I normally only use them if I'm almost positive I can beat the stage. Like if I got like two moves left and a jelly or two left, then I'll use like the hammer and the hand. But like it's rare that I ever have more than like two or three of either one. So
that would make me so anxious.
Why though? It's like, well, you don't play RPGs, but it's like how when I was a kid, like in the Final Fantasy games, at the end of the game, I would have like 20 elixirs because I would save them for the perfect moment, like when I would really need them.
You might need them later.
Yeah, and by the way, I just beat the end boss in like 5 minutes, and now I have 21 elixirs. So. As a grown man of 33, now I just use items in games. So,
well,
good times.
Yeah, I've gotten more loose with that, but I still make sure I have a decent stockpile.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think we solved that emailer's question. I think he's pretty satisfied. So why don't we move on to Ask the Sweet Boys?
Sure. We have an ask ready to go.
Oh.
So let us ask the Sweet Boys. If you have any questions about life, sex, love, relationships, or any other subject that has been troubling you, then please write into us at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with the subject ask, followed by your question. Remember, we will always keep your questions anonymous unless otherwise requested. And this email comes from Anonymous. And their subject is, fiance received Valentine's gift from another man. How should I react?
Good boy.
My fiancé received flowers and candy from another man. He is a single dad from her son's school who also keeps liking her Facebook photos. How should I react without coming off as a controlling jerk?
Well, delete her Facebook account.
Yeah,
that solves one problem.
This is a stumper, isn't it?
Get the Facebook the quotient right out of that equation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the only solution here is to move on and just clean break.
Oh, don't just delete her Facebook, but delete her from your life.
Delete her.
Well, no, I don't mean
entirely.
Like,
no, not that far.
I don't mean like your friend Matt. Your friend Matt Hardy or OJ Simpson implies Huel, but
His personal friends.
My best friends.
I just mean, he writes in all the time.
To the podcast. In general.
But I'm just saying, you know, just dump your fiance. And if you have kids with them, just take them. Just take them and go off into the night. Or as a wise man would say, go to the sea. Go to the sea.
Well, my advice for this guy is, you know, your fiance's man friend is really just trying. He's secretly trying to get close to you through her.
Oh.
He doesn't know you personally. He's just trying to get closer. I'll kick the wife out of the equation, and you start getting those flowers and candies directly from him to yourself. Therefore, you win because you have flowers and candies and a new friend.
Just have like a guy's weekend.
Yeah.
You guys can just gab and gab all night long.
Yeah.
Right?
Nice. All three of those are solid choices for this writer.
A lot of options.
Again, I think we really helped someone.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Sure. Hey, Falcon, why don't you stick to making your money with your gun?
Very intense. Huel, how about you? Anything you wanted to say?
This is no game. My butt is on the line.
Oh, boy. And is that from the game or the manual?
Well, since the game has no dialogue, it's from the comic.
Oh, okay. I didn't think it had any dialogue, but I didn't want to be presumptuous.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry.
Oh, that's magical. And speaking of people putting their bodies on the line, here's a little snifferoo from next week's game.
TurboGrafx-16 is about to knock video games back into the Stone Age. It's 10,000 years ago. You're a cave dude. You are carnivorous. You've got to bonk 28 stages of prehistoric bad guys to rescue your excellent-looking princess. And you've only got one weapon. Bonk's Adventure, only on the TurboGrafx-16 system.